bro in an ambulance car. Throw your hands up if you roll in an ambulance car. Ooh, hey, that's my song. And welcome to the Freedom Train Podcast Series. I am your host, Joseph Ward, hosted with my homeboy, Mr. Headphones, Mr. Glasses, Mr. Looking Right at the Camera, shaking his head, Patrick Aldarius, Irvin, straight from the 229. Now, he ain't really from the 229 because he from that 850. Get your mind right, fool.
Sucker,
fish, cat, fish. You heard me?
Sucker, fish, cat, fish, jive, turkey, duck, fish.
Sucko, jive, turkey. Hey, man.
Welcome back.
Y'all already know we brought to you by the PAX Inc. PACTSINC.org. Pat don't want me to read through the stuff no more. So I'm not. Just know PAX Inc. is a great organization that does great things in the community. It's a think tank. It's an organization that provides information and all types of things, and it's connected with the Amazon Smile program. So check that out. Go to the website at www.pactsinc.org and make sure you check out our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Was that fast enough? Two pumps. That was two pumps.
And remember Amazon Smile. There we go.
That was two pump Tony on that one. So, yeah. Oh. Y'all.
No clubs getting shot up today, babe.
Well, you getting shot up. It's just quick. Just in and out. Pew, 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 pew. In and out, like, rapidly.
Because that ain't a good look for you with the ladies.
I don't care. I feel good.
All right.
Hey, man. What's going on? Everything going down? Going good or going up there where you at? Because you ain't down, so you can't go down.
It's not going good or up or nothing, but, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be. We was talking before the show. For those of you that don't know, I train track and field. And field piece, just the track piece. I don't do nothing with field events. I don't do the and field stuff. I just do the track stuff. But, you know, some of the athletes that qualify for JOs, they done made a decision not to go because Veronica done showed her head down there. And it's a lot. You're talking about thousands upon thousands of people gathered. They haven't even finished testing all of the kid competitors. And yeah. Veronica done already made her mark.
Yeah. For those who don't know, not for moving forward, Veronica is our word for, you know, that virus thing, Veronica, because yeah. You keep telling us that we violating community guidelines, even though we're reading information directly from the CDC. So from now on, it's called Veronica.
That's why we need to come up with something to replace YouTube.
Black Tube.
Hey, man, we had Blackness Lives for a minute. We might need to start that back up. Right. Yes, we talking about alternatives to YouTube on YouTube.
Yes, we are. That's where we're just like everybody else. Y'all need to leave the plantation. Hey,
right.
Hey, so what we got today, man? What are we talking about today? Ain't or is that a question you're supposed to ask me? I was trying to reverse it, trying to see what's keeping you on your toes, but nah. So we got two topics, but subtopics within one of our main topics. So the Olympics out here wilding, but not the same way y'all think they wilding. Because we know why y'all think they wilding. Soul Caps and Shakira. But we like, nah. They really wilding.
Mm-hmm.
We have at least four black women. Well, this is three stories, but we have four black women who are not going to the Olympics over some bull. One black woman isn't going because she's representing Haiti. The other three black women aren't going because they say their levels of testosterone are too high within the same Olympics that is allowing trans athletes to compete. And then we're going to talk about the assassination of the Haiti president for real this week. So all right. So the first start within the Olympics. So if you don't know, there's a young lady who probably can beat your son up. Her name is Aaliyah Shipman, and Aaliyah Shipman is a taekwondo athlete who's representing Haiti in taekwondo in the Olympics, or she was before the United States start set tripping and hating. Right?
What you mean, Joe? How is the U.S. set tripping and hating?
So, okay, Aaliyah has been practicing taekwondo since she was a child. When Aaliyah, when Aaliyah got of age and of skill set, she was representing the United States on the national level, like Junior Olympics and things like that. Up until the age of 16, Aaliyah represented the United States. And I think from what she said, and you can, or somebody can correct this, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a rule that you have to represent a nation for like 2 years before you can do it in the Olympics. So for the last 2 years, she has been representing Haiti in tournaments and winning everything. And she also qualified for the Olympics with Team Haiti, and all the competition that she, all the competing rather that she was doing with Team Haiti, nobody had an issue with it. She was winning everything. She even qualified for the Olympics with Team Haiti. That's when things took a dark turn, because basically the United States are telling her that she can't compete with Team Haiti because she has to represent the United States. And she's like, no, I don't have to represent the United States because I followed the rules. And because I followed the rules, I'm following the guidelines, and I'm in the right frame to represent Team Haiti. But they like, no, we want you to represent the United States. She like, no, I'm gonna represent Haiti. So according to her, she said the United States Olympic Committee leaned on Haiti and basically threatened Haiti that they would stop giving them resources if they kept her on the team. And for that, she is not going to the Olympics. Let me read this. It says, since October of 2019, I've been fighting and meddling for the Haitian Taekwondo Federation in competitions such as the U.S. Open, the Turkish Open, and the Pan American Olympic Qualifying Tournament. An online petition for the welterweight fighter read, during that time, the United States Taekwondo Federation and the United States Olympic Committee never made any objections to me fighting for Haiti. So backing up what I was saying, she been fighting for Haiti. They didn't have no issue with her fighting for Haiti through the U.S. Open, the Turkish Open, the Pan American Qualification Tournament. All those, they had no issues. When Shipman was 16, she competed for Team USA in the Pan Am Junior Championship 1 year before she qualified for Team Haiti. While she maintains that she was never notified of any potential violations, the U.S. Olympic Committee and the U.S. Taekwondo claim that Shipman violated eligibility rules when she switched national teams. Shipman's mom, Zara Shipman, denies that contention, telling the news station that her daughter violated neither age nor competition rules, nothing. There's a rule in the World Taekwondo rule books that specifies that if an athlete has competed in certain events for one country, they cannot compete in the Olympics for another country for 3 years, she explained. She further stated that those rules only apply to athletes 17 or older. Also, that didn't even apply to her. I forgot about that. Since she was 16, it didn't even apply to her. Her daughter was 16 when she competed for the U.S. The family's attorney, Michael Dockerman, argues that the Haitian Olympic Committee, which the U.S. Olympic Committee supports, could have quickly remedied the issue, which he says has come up previously. They have taken different positions with respect to different athletes. The rule that they cite has an exception that they asked be put in 2015 in their benefit. Aaliyah only competes as a junior under U.S. auspices, never as a senior, never in any of the listed tournaments. So basically they're coming at her because she's good and she's fighting for Haiti and she's not fighting for the Americans, and the U.S. Olympic Committee got a problem with that. That's a fight to get behind, people. That's why we're talking about it, because we want to raise more awareness. Let's get behind Aaliyah Shipman, right?
Absolutely.
Because nobody's talking about this.
I mean, it's definitely something that deserves a lot more attention than it's getting. And maybe it's, you know, taekwondo is not a big name sport. It's not a well-known sport. And look, I mean, we go at it. Let's just be direct and blunt here. This is a young lady that broke no rules. Did absolutely nothing wrong. And if what she's saying is true, the U.S. has not only interfered with her Olympic dreams as a black woman, but has also basically punked Haiti into doing it.
Basically,
which is a whole other international incident that needs to be talked about.
Basically, that's basically what happened. She said they kept leaning on Haiti and leaning on Haiti till they finally removed her from the team. So I mean that's wild. That's wild to me. Oh, you don't wanna fight for us, then you're not going to the Olympics at all. We don't care. That's crazy. Is it that serious? I guess apparently it is, huh?
Yeah, I mean I'm like, yeah, I guess it is.
Like I'm going to ruin your Olympic dreams. Even though you did everything you were supposed to do to qualify, I'm going to ruin your Olympic dreams. And you're not going because you don't want to do what we want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's that whole shit.
Yeah, it's really some of the craziest shit you ever heard in your life. And it's really sad, again, that she's having to deal with it the way she's having to deal with it. Like this is just disheartening on a bunch of different levels. And then it's even more disheartening because this is largely probably going to happen with no backlash.
Right.
Like it's been happening with no backlash.
People not even talking about it. It's on major news outlets, but people not talking about it. I mean, my thing is, all right, black folk, look. We don't have a problem with you getting behind any athlete in the Olympics. But what we are saying is for black people, we need to support all of our athletes and defend all of our athletes. That's what we should be doing. It shouldn't just be reserved for the person who captured our heart. Yes, Sha'Carri captured our heart. She's great. She's amazing. Yes, we're all sad she's not going. But these other women need that same type of support that you was giving her. And I guarantee you she would agree with us. Support everybody. But these women right now, and the other three women we're going to talk about, they need support. They need us rallying behind them. They need us talking about it. That same change.org petitions that y'all got for Kevin Samuels, how about you scrap that and make some change.org petitions to make sure that these women are done right. They're being, these women being drugged through the mud for no reason. Like, let's get behind these women.
And it's five women. Because you got Caster Semenya, mm-hmm. Christine Mbamba, mm-hmm. you got Beatrice Masalini, Masalingi, and then you have the silver and bronze medalists in the 800 meter event in Rio. They along with Caster. So and here's the deal, right? All three of the women that medal in the 800 meters in Rio in 2016, all three of those women were barred from the Olympics in Tokyo 2020. All three of them, in addition to the other two young women that we're going to get into right now. And I'm just having a bit of a tough time remembering the names of the other two ladies.
So right. So we have Namibian teens. So these were, so we just talked about Aaliyah Shipman. Aaliyah Shipman is 18. She's still a teen. So we have two teams from Namibia, like you said, Christina Mbomba and Beatrice Masilingi. They're both age 18, have turned in four of the top five women's 400 meter times in the world this year. So they can't compete in the Olympics in the 400 meter. And the reasoning is they said that they have a higher level of testosterone. So let me read a little more. They were on the fast track to Olympic. They were on the fast track to Olympic medals, but then their stellar rise came to a sudden halt. The pair have been banned from competing in the women's 400 race at the Tokyo Games. The reasoning, their natural testosterone levels are too high. The teenagers were both racing at international events when they learned the news. Christina Mbomba was with the duo's coach, Henk Botha, traveling back to their training camp in Italy. When their plane landed, Botha received a call from Namibia's Olympic Committee relaying the news. By the time he was able to call Beatrice Masilingi on his other trainee, she had already found out from social media. The revelation came as a shock to both athletes. Neither of them had been tested before, and they had no reason to think their hormone levels were not within the typical range. It's not the first time female runners faced this problem. In 2018, who we're going to talk about next, Caster Semenya was banned from competing after World Athletics ruled that to ensure fair competition, women with natural high testosterone levels must take medication to reduce them to compete in middle distance races. But at the same time, you are allowing trans athletes to compete against biological women. I'm just imagining that the trans athletes have higher levels of testosterone.
Well, but even if they don't, because they're taking gene therapy, they're in a better position, or hormone therapy, they're in a better position to regulate. A natural woman shouldn't have to regulate her body. As a natural woman, she should not have to take hormone therapy. It's not her fault that she's born with the same competitive advantage that we celebrate in athletes in other sports. It's comparable to saying it's not fair that LeBron James is 6'8 and I'm 5'9.
Yeah.
So they should put a height requirement on the NBA? No, like it's not, it's the same difference. And this rule is a direct result of Caster Semenya kicking everybody's ass for the last two Olympics in the 800 meters. This is the weird thing, right? The 400 meter is the longest sprint. It's not a middle distance. One, two, and four are short distance. They're sprints. Middle distance races are the 800 meters through to the 3,000 meters. All right? So it's two laps to 2 miles is middle distance, right? They set this rule in place for quote unquote the middle distances only, but then included a 400 meter in it that's not technically considered a middle distance. And they put it in place and they said, you need to have this amount of testosterone in your blood or less. Otherwise, you can't compete in these events. Where was the science? Where was any of the things that was done to showcase that this was a necessary rule? Caster Semenya, as we talked about, who this rule is pretty much was made to get her out of competition, she wasn't setting world records. She wasn't like doing something that was totally unheard of for females.
Right.
She was just beating everybody ass. And so because of this rule, Caster Semenya won't be in the 2020 Olympics, so she'll miss the chance to get a three-time repeat of Olympic gold in the 800. Francine, let me type it in.
But you remember their first name?
I remember their first name. I've just been struggling to remember their last names. But I remember everybody's first name because her name is Francine. And the bronze medalist's name is Margaret. I just can't remember their last names. But in any case, so it's Francine Niyasaba from Burundi. And then you have Margaret Wambu from Kenya. All three of those women are barred from the 2020 Tokyo Olympics because of this rule that was put in place. In addition to Christine Mbamba and Beatrice Masilingi being barred from running in the 400, which is their specialty event, and being made to run in the 200. And these are teenagers. Both of those two, Christine Mbamba and Beatrice, both of those, are they're teenagers. These are kids. They're 18 years old. I think Christine just turned 18.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Like, that's why I'm saying again. We got to get behind these women. We got to show these women the same love we've been showing everybody else. Got to defend these women. Like, you can't go all in on one athlete, and then when that athlete don't go, you claim that they trying to keep black women out of the Olympics. And then they replace her with black women, and you ignore those black women that they replace her with. You ignore all the other black women competing. How does that look? That look crazy. Now, we're not saying don't support nobody. We're saying just support everybody and be there for everybody the same way. Like,
yeah, but support, like, so I'm saying, and I'm saying me, because I'm not, you know, this is a Patrick Irvin opinion. If you're going to support somebody, support them in a way that's appropriate with the support that they need. A lot of the people that we are going to bat trying to cancel the Olympics for don't need us to do that. And I would argue that a good chunk of them don't want us to do it either. But then you have women like the young lady from Haiti, the two ladies from Namibia, the South Africa, Nigeria. You have these women who are legit being barred from competing. They didn't do anything wrong. There's not even for those of you that don't know, Caster Semenya has been being traumatized by this shit
for a while,
damn near a decade. There was reports at the last Olympics that they made this woman strip fully naked and stand in the room to be inspected to make sure that she was a woman. Like, this is somebody that's been a woman her whole life. Christine Mbamba has been a girl her whole life. Joe just read the reports. I've read similar reports. These women have never even been tested for testosterone before. And now all of a sudden the world is telling them, we're not sure you're a girl.
Right. Because you're winning.
Right. Right. For no other reason than that you're winning.
But you're allowing trans athletes to compete with women.
Yeah.
Help me understand. Because if you're gonna tell these athletes that we can't allow you to compete because we're not sure that you're a woman, but then you're gonna tell this one, well, we know you biologically are not a woman. You identify as a woman, which is fine, but you don't identify as a woman, but you can compete, but y'all women, y'all can't compete. Make that make sense. It don't make sense. Come on, Olympics.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't make sense all the way around. And even to that, if you're going to have the rule be even across the board. Don't be like, for these specific events, you can't have this, but for these other specific events, you like, because it literally makes no sense to me that they wouldn't just make it for all of the running events. Like that, even that is kind of like, what the fuck? Why would you choose
just those,
these events only?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
If you really worried about testosterone, man, I mean, you ain't thinking about the 100, 200?
Right.
I mean, wouldn't those be the races where testosterone would come in the most?
Yeah. I mean, there's a competitive advantage to all of it. But in the 100 and the 200, which are considerably higher profile running events, with endorsements and everything else at play, I would definitely think that they would be really concerned about those events as well. Like, the whole situation is just weird to me. Like, what are y'all doing?
Right. You hear my stomach Olympic growling? Committee? You hear my stomach? You hear my stomach growling? I know I'm.
No, I didn't.
Okay, I'm just asking. That bit going off right now. But yeah.
I
eat later. You know, I be getting it in. But look, man, enough about my stomach. But Olympics, man, y'all tripping. See, I brought it back. But no, I mean, just come on, man. Like, stop trying to pee on me and tell me it's raining outside and come out and play in the rain. Like, no. Because this, I mean, this has, like, if you want to call racism, call it on this.
Oh, this is definitely racism.
You only targeting black women. You're telling these black women who've done nothing wrong that you can't compete. Oh, you can't compete because you want to fight with Haiti, and y'all can't compete because we think y'all testosterone levels are too high to be competing with women, even though we letting other people compete with women. So,
and you know what? As I'm thinking about it, another issue might very well be that there are a few, there are more white women sprinters this Olympics than usual in the 100 and the 200. And maybe that has something to do with why they decided to keep it at those races, because maybe they feel like those women have a chance. There's a lot of fucked up shit going on in the world of track and field. Even when I think about the way that they treat Daphne Shipper, a woman who doesn't really win anything, but always gets a lot of press and a lot of attention, and at one point was considered the most beautiful sprinter in track and field. And you can guess what color she is. She's Dutch, we'll say that.
He ain't talking about the Dutch Master Blunt.
No. Most certainly not.
Yeah.
So I mean, the Olympics, they just need to.
This is blatant. This right here is blatant. Now we do think it's, like we said last week, we do think it's unnecessary to ban the soul caps. That's stupid. That's a waste of fucking time, space, and resources, and paper, and thought process, and all that. To ban something that the athletes wasn't going well anyway.
Right.
But come on, man! Like you are crashing people's Olympic dreams just because. That's that bullshit, man.
Right, these people train their whole life for this shit.
And you want to know what else I saw? What is John Carlos and the other guy, the men that did the Black Power Fist at the Olympics?
Tommy Lee.
Yeah. So after years of giving these two men the Olympics in the world, and white people giving these men their ass to kiss, I read that they finally being inducted into like the Olympic Hall of Fame. Man, fuck out. If I was them two dudes, I'd tell them to kiss my dick. I wouldn't, don't induct me into nothing.
The crazy part about that is the white boy from the Australian, idea. Right? That he put on the pin. He ran silver medal. Well, no, it was their idea. They had decided they were going to do it.
He gave him the gloves or something he did.
Yeah, he put on the pin, and I think he did something else, but I can't remember right now totally. But nothing happened to him. He participated in the exhibit as well, just as much as they did. Why they ain't do nothing to him?
Oh, he had the right color. The right
perspective. And I guess one could say, well, yeah, but technically the Olympics didn't do blah, 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 and it was blah, blah, and it was America, and he was Australian, and blah. Man, look, whatever.
Question remain, but you know, at this Olympics, they banned all, like, social justice, especially any show of whatever with black people. You know, Black Lives Matter, no stand up for black people, no none of that. You can't display none of that at this Olympics.
Yeah, it's basically a one big shut up and dribble.
Right. Now, what I'm also telling black people is, well, we keep complaining, but what we gonna do about it? Look, man, let's just be real. You know how many people won't watch the Olympics or any of these professional sports without black people in it? It won't be the same. Nobody gonna sit in their TV and watch the 100, 200 meter with a bunch of white girls running. Let's just be real.
White people would.
They gonna miss them Negroes. After a while, they gonna miss them Negroes. Especially let it come, like NFL, NBA, especially here. It's not gonna be the same. You're gonna watch it for a little bit until you realize I feel like I'm watching basketball back in the 1930s.
You know, a lot of them, that was preferable basketball.
Yeah, they didn't got spoiled. Now a lot of them dead too. They didn't got used to dunking. I want to see somebody jam. But it's like, what I'm saying though is we got more power than what we realize. And we keep giving it away. We keep acting like we can't. We keep having a mindset as if we can't, and we can. They need us more than our people think they do, especially in these frames. Got the leverage, use it. I mean, look, we clown LaVar Ball for starting the JBL, but we also say we need to start our own. But we clowned them for doing it, but said we need to do it.
Yeah.
Make that make sense? It don't. See how I like to answer that for y'all?
No, it do make sense. They want somebody to do it, but they want somebody to do it the way they want them to do it. LaVar Ball wasn't doing it right.
Oh, because it's supposed to is in the first year of this league funded by him and the sources that he got, it's supposed to be on the same level as the NBA.
Absolutely. And LaVar Ball is supposed to be a quiet, meek league owner. He's supposed to be all loud and boisterous, saying all kinds of crazy shit.
Yeah, he is too loud for those people. I like it though, but you know. But anyway, man. Anywho, that. But you know, we have a number of women that are being blackballed and bullied by the Olympics for no reason. Let's show these women some support.
Absolutely.
All right, so. Absolutely. July 7th, it went down in Haiti. If you don't know, you've been living under a rock, but most people should know that Haiti's president was assassinated on July 7th. Is Jovenel Moïse, President Moïse, I'm just say Moïse, President Moïse. So police say a group of mercenaries, most of them Colombians, I've heard it was a mix of Colombians and American DEA, former DEA, that's what I've heard. Was behind the attack, which they suspect a Haitian doctor of ordering as part of a plot to become a president. So I was watching something on YouTube, and what I was watching on YouTube was suggesting that either a local billionaire in Haiti or some billionaire who had beef with the president ordered the hit on the president. I can't remember exactly what I was watching on YouTube, but that's the information that they were suggesting, that it was ordered by a billionaire, because they went into having conversations about, well, if that's the case, that can shake up things, because you got all these billionaires, and these billionaires, if they want to cause ruckus within a certain place, they can, because they have the means to hire mercenaries, because this is a bunch of mercenaries that were hired to kill the president. It said the president was shot 12 times and had bullet wounds in his forehead and several to his torso. His left eye had been gouged out and bones in his arms and ankle had been broken, according to one of the judges conducting the investigation. He died at the scene and was found lying on the floor on his back, his shirt soaked in blood. His first lady, Martine Moïse, was also shot but survived. She has been airlifted to Florida in the U.S., and what she said to be in stable condition. So the next thing is saying, who shot him? It's saying Haitian police say a group of mainly foreign mercenaries, 26 Colombians and 2 Haitian Americans, make up the group that carried out the killing. They have also arrested a Haitian man whom they suspect of having played a key role in organizing the attack. But both the timeline given by the police for the killing and who may have pulled the trigger have come under question. Haitian opposition politician Stephen Benoit told a local radio station on Friday that he believed Mr. Moïse had been killed by his security agents. It's not the Colombians who killed him, he told Magic 9 Radio on Friday, without giving further evidence to bolster the claims. Colombian newspaper El Tiempo quoted an unnamed source within Haiti as saying a group of 28 had arrived at the private residence between 2:30 and 2:40, along with long after the time had given for the president's assassination. So they got stories all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
It says an audio recording published on the verified Twitter account of Martin Moise had attributed to the first lady by government officials describes the moment of the attack. In the blink of an eye, the mercenaries entered my house and riddled my husband with bullets. Some in Haiti have questioned whether the woman in the recording is Martin Moise, arguing that that it did not sound like her voice, but Haiti's communications minister insisted it was. So just stop right here. It seemed like it's a we know some BS is going on with this. We know some of it has to be some inside. We know the history of Americans with this and killing, assassinating rulers and presidents and stuff. And you got a mix of Haitians, Americans, Colombians, and all other people. And everybody trying to say they have the truth, and there's so many stories, which just means it's a cover up happening. And it's going to take some time to figure out who really assassinated the president of Haiti. But my question is the why of the assassination and what's going to be the fallout after the assassination. What's going to come after that? Remember Gaddafi. 2 years after Gaddafi was assassinated, slavery reopened for African people in Libya. And we talked about that, right? From 2011, 2013, slavery had reopened. Human trafficking was happening in Libya. So what's the fallout from this? Was it to get him out of the way because he was undesired? Is it to further exploit resources and people? What's behind this? Haiti's still suffering, man.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. What's your thoughts?
It's definitely a cover-up. I don't think that can be debated. You know what I'm saying? One of the things that's interesting to me is that in recognizing that this is a cover-up, there's been a lot of investigations that have been hampered with. The FBI was allowed to come in, and they collected a whole bunch of evidence that they mentioned. They were shocked, was still at the crime scene. There have been court investigators and court reporters that have come out now publicly and released emails showing that they're getting anonymous threats from somebody for continuing to proceed and trying to conduct the investigation. If all of these things are true, it definitely points to a major cover-up in place, which means that there was definitely some structure and organization behind the killing of the president. It was not just somebody with a lot of resources doing something haphazardly. Right. There was like a certified full-on plan in place.
This was meant to happen for a specific reason. Like,
right.
You don't just organize something like this just because you're mad at somebody.
No. I don't think anger has anything to do with this. This was an obstacle being removed.
Right.
And it was planned, and everything was orchestrated as such.
Right.
So, you know, the components of fear have been unleashed. There were also reports that the president was calling and asking for help while the people was in his house. And those calls were largely going unheeded. There's just a lot here.
Yeah.
This is another one of those stories where I don't know if it's big news or not, because I'm not really following big news right now. But I don't see a lot of people talking about it.
It's not talked about as much as I would like it to be. I've seen a number of outlets talking about it, but I don't think it's being discussed with the amount of seriousness, and it's not getting the attention that it really needs, because all of us, especially us conscious black folk that all claim to be, all of our antenna should be up right now.
Right.
All pan-Africanists, all those people, all of our antenna should be up right now. Like, hey, man, we need to get to the bottom of this. Let me read this. It says video footage not independently verified, but thought to have been taken by residents, show armed men dressed in black arriving in several vehicles. A man thought to be a security guard appears to have been forced to lie face down in the street while another man can be heard shouting in English over a loudspeaker. DEA, U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration, Operation Everybody Stay Down. Haiti's ambassador to the U.S., Mr. Edmond, I'm going to just say his last name. I don't want to butcher his first name, whatever. But Mr. Edmond said that while the attackers have disguised themselves as U.S. drug agents, he believed there was no way they really were U.S. agents. Officials say that the ground between the property's gatehouse at the residence was loaded with cartridge cases and indicating that multiple shots were fired. That's what, like you were saying, evidence is found. Yeah, the only people injured by the bullets were the president and his wife, a fact which has raised questions about the possible complicity of the president's guards. Fair point. One Haitian official, Bedford Claude, said he had told police to interview all security agents close to the president. If you were in charge of the president's security, where were you? He asked, what did you do to avoid this fate for the president? I said the president's top two security officials have been summoned to appear at hearings scheduled for the 13th and 14th of July. So that has already happened. That is a good question. Why didn't any of the security get injured slightly or in any way? Because if you security, it should have been a firefight if all those casings were found.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, that is a good point to be raised. Everybody's a suspect.
Right, but that's where the whole thing with the FBI to me is interesting, because they showed up and they collected tons of casings, shell casings. They even found the megaphone that was used to tell people that it was a drill.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like, first off, let's talk about that. The fact that there was enough forethought to bring a megaphone in order to tell people the cover story during the murder, the assassination.
This was planned to throw people off as they do what they need to do. Let's use a what if it was DEA and they were bold enough to say this DEA. You know, but what if it was the guards? What if it was really just Colombians? I mean, but the ultimate thing is who was the person behind the hit? Who ordered the hit?
Mm-hmm.
And what was the overall reason for the hit being ordered? What's the end result? What are they looking to come out of this? Because ultimately, the people of Haiti are going to be the ones who suffer the most. So.
Yeah.
We need to be looking at this. Antenna should be up. Should be all the way up.
Yeah, and not even like with speculation or nothing like that. Just trying to see what's happening. Like, cause I feel like we do a bit too much of that. A bit too much of the, you know, everybody trying to predict the outcome, or trying to, you know, they did this for this. Nobody knows why yet, because don't nobody know who did it.
Right.
But we need to be paying attention to it nonetheless, because the underside of this too is if this was a billionaire removing a high-powered elected official from office, and he used the private army to do it, we know that most of the well-trained private forces in the world come from the U.S. military. They get out. They only have one skill, regardless of what your recruiter told you. They have one skill, and there's nowhere for them to use that skill on American soil.
They're going to be a mercenary.
Right.
And that's one thing that the one of the broadcasts I was watching was saying about some of those Colombian mercenaries, that they were people come from the army, and they don't have nothing else to do. That all you've been killing all your life, that's all you know how to do. So they become mercenaries. And if you have enough money, if you're a billionaire, when you multi-billionaires and you have enough money, according to this broadcast, this is what the broadcast was saying. That's what they're suggesting. You can order these hits. You have the resource to order these hits, which shakes up politics, which shakes up how a nation is ran and how a nation is defended and how decisions are made.
And that's one of the things that's interesting about us who live in America and in other developed nations. We're so used to a large state military that we can't fathom ever really doing anything against the state.
Right.
The vast majority of the world doesn't live in that reality. The vast majority of the world, one of these private forces, these mercenary groups, could go into a country and do extreme amounts of damage really, really quickly, and then be out. Because they're 9 times out of 10, if they've received their training from the military, they're better trained and better equipped than the state squad, the military of the nation they're in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We can go in and do what we need to do and mess you up and make it look like you did it.
Right. And I think that's another one of these, the real realities that we have to face with. And that's another one of the things that we as Black people, I think, really have to think about when we're listening to a lot of people that are trying to galvanize us to go toe-to-toe with the United States. The military rejects and the military retirees are able to go into other countries, go toe-to-toe with their militaries and win. What do you think, and I know this is off topic, but it's on topic as well. What do you think you're going to do going up against the prime of the military? These are the guys that are still in their physical prime. They've received up-to-date modern training, and they are well-equipped. They're some of the best-equipped troops on the planet. And we have a lot of rabble-rousers out here telling us that we need to go toe-to-toe with these people.
Man, people just like be just,
right. Like just look at what happened to Haiti. If this is true, when it comes to like these were mercenaries hired that were trained by the U.S. that went in there and killed the Haitian president,
and in an area that's a secured, highly secured area that's away from the regular population.
Right. This was his home. One, it was supposedly one of the most secure facilities in the country.
Right.
They ran in there and took him out.
Right.
And so, got out without anybody knowing who did it, why they did it, where they came from. Like, everything we got now is speculation. But nobody know who did what. We just know that somebody put bullets in this man.
Yeah.
So, hey man, I just live here.
I was having a conversation with a youngster earlier. Because we want people to start using critical thinking, right? So, you know how with the conspiracy theory. Rabbit, you know how deep the conspiracy theory rabbit hole can go,
mm-hmm.
Right? I forgot the name of the documentary. Let me see if I can pull it up. There's a documentary young man was telling me about it, and it was called Above Majestic, and it's basically one of those documentaries talking about like the esoteric, supposed to be tying in with esoteric stuff, talking about the wars of the gods, the nuclear wars of the gods, and how the greys and the reptilians and all these extraterrestrials have relationships with the governments across the world, and have these intergalactic, interstellar relationships and everything that's going on, and these are the people who are controlling the world and all these things. Yeah. Not saying it's true, not saying it's false, but in our conversation, I was trying to get him to understand, don't disinformation, go research it. Go look it up. go verify what you what they're giving you. I was trying to tell him, look, I came across this same type of information in 2003. I'm saying this for an example. So I came across this, a lot of this information in 2003. You went down the rabbit hole in YouTube. I went down. We're talking about early days of YouTube, too. Mm-hmm. You've watched Devil Blair videos. I've watched Devil Blair. We done went down this rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. But I was trying to get him to understand, I'm not saying this stuff is true. I'm not saying it's false. But what I am saying is, you do your research to verify it. But also what I'm saying is, you can get stuck down this rabbit hole if you want to. But is any of this information helping your community get better?
Mm-mm.
Because your community, because I was telling, bro, it's been like 15, actually it's been longer than that. I keep saying it's been like 18, 17, 18, 19 years since I started looking at information like this. My community been getting worse over these years. So you can get caught up in all this extraterrestrial stuff, but your community's still getting worse. And the same thing, people can get caught up in all the fluff and everything. Research everything, study everything, look up everything. But at the end of the day, the fate and the conditions of the community and stuff around us, if it's getting worse, then that means we need to turn our attention to what's really important to us. Stop getting caught up in all the conspiracy stuff. Unless it's like Haiti and the conspiracy really affects you right there. But still do your research. Don't go off of just what people telling you. Go investigate however you use the resources you have to get as much information as possible. And stop taking information face value because it's presented good. I could present a pile of shit and make it look good, put some cherries, whipped cream, chocolate, whatever you need on it, make it look good, it's still a pile of shit. Research, study everything. Believe half of what you hear and half of what you see.
Yo, I think we just got to get out of the space of everybody wanting to feel intelligent by accepting the things that nobody else believes. Because that's really what it is. If you don't believe this, you ain't smart. I'm smart because I believe this, you know, never mind the fact that this information is old. It never occurs to young people. And I say this myself, because when I was young, I was the same way. And I work with young people now and they feel the same way. But it never occurs to young people that old people might not give you the time of day because they've been where you are.
That's what I'm trying to tell them.
They've already, you know, right? Like they've already experienced this information. They've looked it up. They know what you finna say before you say it, and they know it's bullshit already. So they ain't even got time to indulge your bullshit, cause they know you think you smart.
Yeah,
and you're not. But you ain't gonna listen to them say that you're not. So they just don't listen to you at all. It's a lot of young people, and again, working with kids. I'm really learning this. They believe whatever is said to them in an authoritative way. If an adult says something to them in an authoritative way, they believe it. And that's dangerous.
Yeah. But and that's what I was telling them. I was like, look, this information is presented to you by the same people who are going out and trying to get people to believe that because technologically or just on any level, they can't figure it out. It has to be extraterrestrials. It can't be Africans or the indigenous people. It has to be extraterrestrials. These are the same people that you're listening to. Like, I'm not saying that they're wrong, but what I am saying is...
I am.
Well, because I'm not... I didn't tell him that because I want him to go look it up. So I ain't going to tell him right or wrong because I want him to go look it up and I want him to find that it's wrong on his own.
No,
but it's this information isn't new. Like you said, I'm telling you what's happening next. I'm telling you over a 15 to 17 year period that people are telling you all these things and half this stuff you still have no evidence about. But your community around you ain't getting better, though. Don't get caught up in all that stuff. But open your mind. Think critically. Don't follow narratives. Don't just take information face value. like, look it up. Don't be defending something just because you feel like it's right or you think it's right. Know it's right. Mm-hmm. Say what you know what you say.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be good, man. We'll be good. Mm-hmm. Anything you want to add before we shut this thing down and back that thing up?
No.
But you got to back that thing up concert to go to?
I wish.
Hey, you know it, man. But hey,
Blackness Lives coming back, I think.
Blackness Lives coming back. We're going to do something. We're going to do something. But hey, we're going to find a way because we ain't finna let YouTube hold it down. And black folk, let's support black folk all the way. Peace and a ball of hat grease.